from some that were at a lock-in this weekend, right? Yeah, we had a lock-in for our youth group. We had, 18 here, I believe. Man, it was awesome. I'm happy for them. I will tell you this. I'm glad I wasn't there. Glad it's Harrison, right? Man, I'm already tired as it is. Anybody else? Yeah, I would be. I am tired. Anybody missing that hour of sleep today? All right. We get some amens. All right, good deal. I'm on my third cup of coffee, so this is going to be a really fast sermon. All right? You might have to slow it down when you get home to watch it again and be like, what did he say? Really slow, all right? Because I can feel my heart going, yeah. So, man, God is good. All right, God is good. I really believe that. God is moving, and I see it in our church. We had a chili cook-off, and you know what was awesome? Great food, but greater company. Great to be together as a church family. It's fun to look out here and see friends, because that's what I see, right? I see friends. I see friends that are believers and wanting to see the world change for God. And that's exciting to me. It's exciting to be a part of this. I hope you feel the same way. God's moving. God's changing our hearts. God is moving in our communities. I was playing in a tournament for disc golf. I love disc golf, but I was playing yesterday in a really cold day, right? And all I could think about was the guys that I was playing with. One of them was like, hey, I want your number so I can learn how to throw. And I thought, that's goofy. You know, you can throw, man. But I started thinking about how God's going to use that, right? And how I can be a part of this guy's life from a different point of view and just know, hey, God's going to bless that. I'm excited about that. And I hope you are taking those opportunities, too, that God is going to open doors for you. If you're willing, God's going to open a door and say, hey, I need you to be involved in this person's life, right? That's exciting. That's so, before I would have been like, man, why does he want my number? This guy's from a different area of life. He totally is different from me, different priorities. Now I look at it as like, this is an opportunity. And he doesn't need to be a copy carbon of me. He just needs to know God loves him. And I have that message. Right? And so do you. I'm hoping this last week that you got to take a time each day, 15 to 20 minutes, of just listening for God. I hope it changed your week. That's my hope. Like, that was the challenge last week. We were praying, like, we're doing this prayer challenge until Easter. Right? And last week's was to listen. If you remember. And I challenge you to start with 15 minutes. Doesn't seem very long. But when you're listening for 15 minutes, it can feel like eternity, right? I don't know if you've ever sat in a conversation and just listened for 15 minutes and like held your tongue and didn't respond, right? Logan was kind of telling me that he lost his voice, so in the conversations with Brittany, he didn't get to talk, and Brittany was happy about that, right? Right? She got to voice everything she wanted, and he was just stuck listening, right? It was probably a good week for your marriage, right? Happy, right? 20 years of marriage, I've learned, hey, it's better to be quiet and just listen for a while, right? Because you get, when you listen, guess what starts to happen in that? You start to hear the passions and concerns and the worries and everything that's going on in that person's life. And guess what starts to happen too with me, that's the listener? I start to care about what's going on in that person's life. I start to wonder, I wonder how her boss or her coworker is doing. I've never met these people, right? But I care because the person that I'm listening to cares, right? Imagine we do this with God and we start hearing what he cares about. What he has in store for us. Can you imagine what that relationship starts to change and starts to look like? That it's not all about us and our petitions when we come to him. It's about, God, what do you want? What do you need from me, God? Right? The challenge is, continue until Easter to just keep listening for God. right? We're going to keep adding to our prayer challenge each week, and this one is about giving it up, right? I think a lot of us have stuff in our lives that we carry around on a regular basis that we need to give it up. We need to actually trust God that He can take it, He can handle it, He can deal with it, right? We have a video that we're going to show that I think really typifies the idea of why, like, what life is like when we keep carrying things that God has said, I've got this, right? Let's see it. Boom. You see her glasses go off? Isn't that amazing? We'll see it again. And she's just laughing, right? You don't get to hear the sound. Whoop, boing, right? It's hilarious. Again, boof, and there goes her glasses. Love it. She's laughing. I feel like she knew what was going to happen right there, right? So we have this thought process of give it up. I think we start living a life that's so easy like this lady, right? So easy to live like this that we expect. I think she was expecting when she threw that over her shoulder, I'm going backwards, right? I think that's how we carry a lot of things in our life, that we expect, oh, it's going to tear me down, but this is who I am, and I'm okay with it, and we hinder ourselves. We even limit our spiritual walk with God because of it, right? And I started thinking about what it looks like to give up something, especially when it's something that God has called you to, right? We can talk about this guy right here, Abraham. Abraham is a figure in the Old Testament that's an awesome guy. He's got a lot of history. He's favored by God. God loves him and has told him, hey, you are going to be a leader amongst men. And through you, your descendants, people are going to look to them. And they're going to be promised land, and nations will follow them, right? Now, this promise was promised to him at like 60-something years old. And he was promised he's going to have kids. He didn't have any kids up to this point, and he's in his 60s. That, I'm thinking, huh? I am 44 years old. If God came to me in my quiet time and said, hey, you're about to have another one, I'd be like, no, okay, right? I don't know about you, but I like just even thinking about it, my knees start to go weak. And if I went home and told Michelle, hey, this is the message God gave me, she just slammed that door, and she was like, I'm not listening to you today. Right? God needs to tell you a different message, right? It totally would happen. But back then, this was like, hey, if this is God's promise at 60-something years old. And Sarah she was probably in her 40s at that time. No, a little bit older than that. She was probably in her 60s. He was probably more, a little bit older than her. Anyway, promised them, hey, you're going to have a baby boy. And out of this promise, I mean, people will follow this, follow your descendants, and it'll be plentiful. And can you imagine, the same reaction was kind of happening with Sarah. You know, no, what? Well, you better start now, right? Something like 24 years and waiting for this promise to come through. Can you talk about being patient? Anybody ever promise you something and you're like, you had to wait for that promise to come through? Say a week to come through. Like they promised you, hey, I'll pay that back. And after like maybe a week, you're like, I'm never seeing that again. Anybody? Anybody? I'm never going to see that again, right? So in that, imagine being promised, hey, this is a big deal for them too, because he had no inheritance. He had no people to give, and having a son too was a big deal back then. It personified who you were. You were favored by God, right? You were favored by God. So they felt like, okay, this promise happened, right? And God just doesn't favor us. And so Sarah finally got to a point, okay, okay, I can't handle this anymore. I'm tired of being patient. You know what you need to do, Abraham? Go be with our servant. Right? And that happened. And they weren't patient. And he had a kid with another woman. Now, it wasn't uncommon during their time to have this, but what was uncommon is they weren't patient for God to answer their prayer. Wasn't patient for God to answer this promise. She's 90 years old, and God comes up to her and goes, okay, it's time. 90. I know they lived a little bit different back then. 90's still old. 90's really old to have a kid. It's scary. And I can only imagine at that time, like, it's scary to have a kid at an early age. It's got to be really scary to have a kid at old age, right? They're really energetic, and they don't sleep, and they don't, like, and at that point, do I hear them anymore? I don't know. Anyway, my mind is floating. Anyway, so Abraham has this, and he promises, and it's a couple years later, Isaac comes, and he's promised this, and this little boy's here, right? And he's walking out in the woods, and Abraham hears God's voice. He's having one of those moments where he's listening. And God says, Abraham, and he goes, okay, what? I need you to sacrifice for me. Okay. All right, what do you want me to sacrifice? And he looks at him and he goes, I need you to sacrifice your son. Now, I don't know about you. I love my kids, and there's not a day, even as bad as they could be, that I would go, okay, let's do it. My first gut reaction is like, did I hear that right? This is my promise. You promised this kid to me. This is my miracle. Abraham goes, okay. And they start this walk. And God said he would provide the area. And they start walking. And Isaac knows their traditions at this time. And like, he's asking questions. So where are we going? What are we doing? Where's the sacrifice, Dad? Those are those walks you're like, okay, I'm putting this down in my memory bank to remember if he's going up a hill and we're going to sacrifice for God and he doesn't have anything in, uh-oh. Was I bad this week? Right? It changes things, right? They're walking on because God will provide, son. Builds an altar. Ties his son to it. And starts the process. This is one of those moments you start to question God. It's very easy to question God in this moment. You're like, wait a minute, don't you love him? Don't you? You promised him this kid, right? And as he's starting to do it, he stopped. And there's a ram over there. He goes, I provided for you. Take your son off that. I needed to see if you're a good and faithful servant. Now, this wasn't about his son. This was about the promise that God had given Abraham and whether or not Abraham was just living with that as his bag to carry. I am this, God's favored, and people will look at me this way. Right? Abraham was willing to give that up because of what God had said. See, God has a call on our lives, but also God can change that call. It has to be willing for you to be a servant and say yes. In this moment, the bag for Abraham was everything that God had promised him. And he was, again, years of disappointment and patiently waiting and then finally going, this isn't going to, you know, God's not going to do it this way, so I need to go ahead and do it my way. And I will tell you, it was a messy situation between mixed families to a point that they didn't, like the servant that had Abraham's son, the mom, Sarah and her did not get along. And she was mistreated, And Sarah's looked upon as God, like, God loves her and called her just as much as Abraham. But what happens when we change things around of what God has promised and we put it in our hands, it becomes messy, right? And then God fulfills his promise for them, and I guarantee they looked at this son and looked at the promises and just started thinking, yeah. I'm like every newsletter is about how God's, yeah, I'm awesome. I'm really cool. God blessed us. Look, Sarah was 90, and now we have this. Like patting his head, loving on him. And God said, hold on, let's refocus you. This isn't about you. You need to let go of that and to the extreme. Pride can be something that we carry, and we can look like the lady on there, right? Where we're like, yeah, and just full smile. Everybody loves me, and throw, just fall flat on our back. And she didn't have a problem in that. You see that? I think whatever's in the bag really cushioned her. She knew she was going to go back. You can, like, you don't, even though she had a mask on, I could feel the smile, like, this was hilarious, and just go on our feet. A lot of us live like that. And it's pride that does that to us. It's what we carry along with us, and like, you know, looking at other people, I'm a lot better than them. A lot. There comes a moment even in our walk that we decided somewhere along the way that I am no longer a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And then all of a sudden we look at the world like, you sinners! You're horrible people. I'm so much better. Look at me. You should follow me. And that becomes very, very dangerous. Right? God loves every single one of us. And if you look at Jesus' interactions with the people that were the marginalized, the people that were looked down by the religious people of his time, man, he showed them grace, he showed them love, he showed them compassion, he showed them the way to heaven. The ones that were righteous, man, he had to convince them of his glory. And it never worked. Because they were more with their bag of their own glory. They're filling their bag with their own glory. What they don't do, what they do to, and they have totally lost sight of the promise that God has for them. All right? Another promise, or another bag that is, you can find all that in Genesis 22. All right? The other one that I want to talk about is in Luke 18, 18 through 30. It is this young man, and he comes and he asks Jesus, what does it take to get to heaven? And calls him a good teacher. For some reason, Jesus said, you know, why do you call me a good teacher? Questions him. And then goes on this laundry list of, hey, you follow all my commandments? Then yeah, there you go. And this young man, he was one of those, he was probably a really upstanding, friendly, good man. He followed all the commandments, right? He knew the Old Testament. He knew what was going on. He was wanting what God had for his life. He really wanted it. He really did. And Jesus confronts the one thing in his bag that he's not willing to give up. You see, this is what Jesus does if we really listen. If we want to grow, guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to confront the one thing that's the hardest thing to let go of. So he tells this man, hey, go sell everything. Go sell everything and follow me. The first time I read this as a teenager, first off, I have been saved. I'm excited for who Jesus is. I'm excited for what Jesus has in store for me. And guess what? I have zero dime to my name. I'm a teenager. I live at home. So my first thought is, yeah, I'll sell everything. There goes my magazines, right? There goes my gloves. I'll follow you. Fast forward to 44. I've got a little bit more stuff to my name now. You know, I love my Jeep. I love driving my Jeep. I don't know, when we got the snow, when everybody left church, I decided to go up those snow banks. It's fun, right? It's what the Jeeps are for. I like having my home that we have. You know, God has blessed us with a nice home. I've got some stuff. I've got some stuff laid away for my retirement. You know, we plan for that. What if I was in this scenario with the same situation, and God said, get rid of it all. Get rid of it all. The same interaction I had as a teenager, being like excited to follow God, is one that I was like, wait a minute, how am I going to provide for my family? Where do we rest our head? God, what are we going to do? Like, we fill up our bags and we carry them so nonchalantly that we don't even realize, hey, there's stuff that we're carrying. So, yeah, the young rich ruler decided, the man who had everything, right, and he was a good, upstanding man, he knew the commandments, followed the commandments, and then Jesus said, hey, get rid of it all to follow me, and he goes, and just walks away. Disappointed, heartbroken. Knew that the cost of carrying what he had, he couldn't let go. He's dejected. Jesus went on to say, man, it is harder for a rich man, rich person to enter the gates of heaven than it is for a camel to enter an eye of a needle. That's quite an image. It's impossible. When he's saying eye of a needle, the ones that you sew, and a camel, the actual living, breathing camel, like they understood, oh, it's impossible then. And what's he say after that? But through me, everything is possible. So there's hope. There's hope. But this is what I want us to pray about this week. What do I need to give up? What is God calling me to give up? Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's something that I'm carrying that, like, when people come across me, they have to walk on eggshells because they're like, man, I don't want to upset that person. Right? Maybe it's the stuff we have, that you're more concerned about it and losing it than more concerned about how God can use it and how God wants to use it. God has called us to live a life for Him. And in that, first off, like last week, a lot of us don't know what God has in store for us because we're not taking the time to even listen for Him, right? Except for maybe on a Sunday morning, and it has to come through me, and I'm sorry. I try my best to give you the message that God wants, but I think really God is knocking at your door consistently, and we just turn the volume up on the radio so loud that we can't hear. That we live this life at 100 miles per hour. And we go, where's God? And the whole time, His voice was steady. And He was talking to you. You just needed to stop and listen. That's like the number one thing within our relationship with God, to listen. We just talked about it at the beginning of this. Like, to slow down if you care about God, if you want to know what God has. Guess what? You can't just always be the one talking, always be like ignoring him. You have to sit and listen. It's essential and part of relationships. A lot of relationships are broken because one side didn't listen. The good thing about God is he's persistent, always, loves you so much, his voice is continually wanting to speak to you, wanting to give you the message of hope that life isn't about the stuff that we care about, life is about the stuff that he cares about. And when we put that in our throne of our hearts, guess what? A joy comes and sits there that's beyond riches, beyond what this world says is amazing. It is found in heaven, and we get to be a part of that here on earth and spread that. And we look at people differently. And the bag, can you imagine her never even having a bag anymore to throw over her back? Not having to carry that anymore, trusting that God has it. I want to tell you, this message is directly at me just as much as is it to you. Because reality is this, trust is something that I have to continually say yes to. We are people that have been reliant on ourselves for a very, 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 very long time. Look at Abraham. Hey, God said this to him, gave him a promise straight to him. Yes, I know he was like 90, and he's like, listen, this isn't going to happen. Let's go do this our way because God's not going to really fulfill it unless we step up. But the reality is this, if we listen and we're obedient, we trust no matter what. And at age 90, they had a kid. Whew. Peter was in a boat, yells out to Jesus, who's walking on the water, hey, if that's really you, call me out. And he got to walk on water. That's faith. Guess what? God is calling you out on the water. God is calling you to do some miraculous things. I really believe it. He wants you to have this story that's all centered around him, and it's just, you go back home, and you're like, listen, I got something to tell you today. God did this, God said this, God is moving here. I listened and I obeyed, and guess what happened? Amazing things. I got to share the gospel. My coworker asked for prayer. My bank account, like I didn't know if the bills were going to be paid, but God supplied. God answers. We have to listen. We got to let go of the bag. I think also we carry a lot of bags that define who we are. Victims, pride, hurts, unforgiveness, moments that just really start to write down who we are, and we hold on to that. And we allow it to define who we are. And the reality is this. Jesus comes in and says, this is mine. Let me have it. You are no longer this thing. You are written with my name now. Like when people see you, it's not just Ben. It's Christian Ben. Christ follower Ben. And all the things that have happened to you in the past, you are able to let go because I am big enough to help you with it. I want you to know there should be amens at that point. There really should be. Because you are not bound to the problems of your past. You are not limited by the things that have happened. You are not limited to your mistakes. You're not limited to the shame and the guilt that you carry. I praise God for that. I want you to know because I am not the Ben Alexander that I was in high school, college, even as an adult. even yesterday, I am this new being every day when I accept Jesus Christ and let his forgiveness reign in me and let the bag of what all the stuff that I have carry all the time and let him have it. Praise God. And the cool thing is, that's our message. That's our message. We get to go out into this world and say, there's a new start. There's a new beginning. There's a newness that God smells on you all the time if you just allow it to happen. Can you imagine getting in your car with that new car scent every time? I know they make that scent. It's not the same. It's not the same because my car's dirty. If they can make that new scent with my car being clean without me doing it every time, then that's amazing. That's what Christ does to our hearts and our souls every time. Makes it fresh and new when we say yes. Imagine if we believe that. We're not laughing anymore when that we throw that back over our... We're not expecting it to go, okay, here we go, and just fall backwards. We're expecting, okay, God, let's go. And we actually go. He uses my past to glorify him. If you look through all the Old Testament, there are many times that he uses people that they are not good people. They're only good because of what God has done in them. And he continues to redeem them and make them new and fresh. So this is your prayer challenge this week. This is your prayer challenge. Stand with me. First, spend some time listening again. Listening for what God has for you. Listening just to what God is saying to you. Right? Take 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, increase it each day. I promise you, there's not going to be a moment you go, I regretted listening to God today. Unless he tells you you're going to have a kid at 90. You might regret it a little bit. Take some time to listen. And then listen for what God needs you to give up. What you need to let go of, not carry anymore, to know that he's got this, that he loves you and wants to make you new and fresh every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that we listen for your voice this week. Lord, I pray that we can ask you the question, what do you want? What do you need from me? How can I draw closer to you? And Lord, I pray from that point on that we listen. And that you give us the strength to say yes to whatever your call is. I pray that we don't carry this bag around that's weighing us down. That enables us to live a life that you've called us to live. We thank you for your son. We thank you how he has called us out onto this water and called us to do miraculous things. And you've called us to love people right where they're at and let you do the work. And we get to be a part of it. And just like Peter, he was out there, Lord, there are going to be moments that we see the storms and we get frightened and we forget what you are capable of, that we forget that you control the storms, we forget that you're bigger than all our life's problems, dear Lord, and we start to sink. And what's awesome, God, is that you reach down and you pull us out of that and put us in a safe place and will love on us and take care of us. But you don't call us to just stay safe. You eventually will call us back out onto that water. Lord, I pray that we're ready to follow you. That all the things that are in our bag, that we don't cherish it, that we don't define ourselves by it, but we define ourselves by our relationship with you. May we hand the bag over to you today. Lord, I pray today is a new and fresh start with you. Be with us. And may we go and be the body that you called us to be. Amen. Go, church, knowing that God loves you more than anything else.